Sandra was 29 years old when she met a man through the Tinder dating app who immediately caught her attention. He was charming, caring, and understanding. Every conversation with him felt easy and sincere. After a few weeks, they started dating. At first, everything seemed perfect. They traveled together often, went on weekend trips, and spent a lot of time together. He told her she was special and that he had never met anyone like her before. Sandra felt loved and safe. After a few months in the relationship, she found out she was pregnant. The news shocked her because the pregnancy had not been planned. Still, she was in love and believed they could build a family together. He reacted with excitement. He said he could not wait to become a father and suggested they start living together immediately. At first, his concern seemed like love. He often called her while she was at work and asked where she was. He wanted her to contact him as soon as she finished her shift. Sometimes he insisted on video calls, just to see if she was okay. He said he was worried about her and the baby. Little by little, Sandra noticed that she almost never went anywhere alone anymore. He picked her up after work and wanted to know who she talked to. When she wanted to spend time with her friends, he told her that pregnant women should stay at home and rest. In the 8th month of her pregnancy, he physically attacked her for the first time. One evening, he came home after going out with friends. He woke her up in the middle of the night and started insulting her. He called her a liar and said that who knows who she was seeing at work. He said he was not even sure if the baby was his. Then he pulled her out of bed by her hair and slapped her several times. Sandra was shocked. She could not believe what had happened. The next day, he apologized, cried, and said he had been drunk and stressed. He promised it would never happen again. But it did. After she gave birth to their son, the violence became more frequent. Since she was on maternity leave and spending most of her time at home, she felt completely isolated. He forbade her from contacting friends and family. He told her that other people wanted to destroy their relationship and that nobody truly cared about her. He controlled her phone, checked her messages, and became angry if she spoke to someone without his knowledge. Sandra started to feel as if she was living locked inside her own home. Over time, she became quiet and withdrawn. She stopped telling other people what was happening because she felt ashamed and feared that nobody would believe her. She often thought that maybe it was her fault and that she should be a better partner so she would not make him angry. One day, during a medical checkup, she burst into tears when the doctor asked her whether she felt safe at home. It was the first time she admitted to someone what she was going through. With the help of a women's counseling center and the support of a close friend, Sandra slowly began planning to leave together with her son. First to a shelter for women and children victims of violence, and later toward an independent life. The process was neither quick nor easy, but for the first time in a long time, she felt that she was not alone. Today, she says, "Violence did not begin with hitting. It began with control, jealousy, and the feeling that I constantly had to prove where I was and what I was doing. For a long time, I thought that was love. Today, I know that love should never hurt and that nobody deserved to live in fear." Learning reflection questions. Which behaviors first appeared as care but later became controlling? Why was it difficult for Sandra to leave or ask for help? How did isolation affect Sandra's emotional well-being?